Go ahead, sing along.
You know the words.
Real Country, 1430 AM at 107.3 FM, WRDN.
We loaded up my old station wagon with a tent, a Coleman, and sleeping bags. Some fishing poles, a cooler of Cokes, 3 days before we had to be back. When you're seven, you're in seventh heaven, when you're going camping in the wild outdoors. As we turned off on that old dirt road, he looked at me and swore, "Dad, this could be the best day of my life. I've been dreaming day and night about the fun we..."
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis at a briefing today says deportation flights at the new migrant facility in the Everglades has begun. He says some 100 detainees have been transferred to Homeland Security flights and sent to other countries.
I don't want it to be something where people, illegals, are just being like stored there and then just kind of sitting. I want it to be where illegals are here, there's an aggressive processing and an aggressive deportation schedule. That's what you're seeing.
The facility has been dubbed the Alligator Alcatraz. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche has wrapped up 2 days of meetings with Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell. She's serving 20 years for sex trafficking. Her attorney tells ABC News they have not asked for anything, including a pardon. Earlier, President Trump told reporters he has the power to issue a pardon, but has not thought about it. Severe storms triggering flooding in New Mexico again following catastrophic floods last month. This is ABC News. Britain held an emergency call today with France, Germany, and Italy. They're all now calling for an immediate end to the war in Gaza. It comes a day after the U.S. and Israel broke off talks in Doha, with Hamas accusing the group of not acting in good faith. Here's ABC's Maggie Rooley.
The breakdown of these ceasefire talks is coming as we're getting these near daily warnings this entire week from more than 100 NGOs. The latest from Doctors Without Borders. It's worth repeating those numbers that they came out with. Doctors Without Borders now saying that one out of every four children and pregnant women screened at their clinics are malnourished, accusing Israel of using starvation as a weapon in Gaza. Just today, there's been 9 new deaths from starvation in Gaza that were recorded, bringing that total to 122 deaths from famine and malnutrition, including 83 children.
Orders for durable goods decreased in June by $32 billion, that after a surge in May. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Whether it's day or night, hot flashes due to menopause can be unpredictable. That's why there's Veozah, a prescription treatment proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night that can start working in as early as 1 week. Based on clinical studies measuring efficacy at 4 and 12 weeks, individual results may vary. Talk to your healthcare provider about what this may mean for you. For moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms or hot flashes and night sweats due to menopause, Veozah can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veozah and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veozah if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veozah. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veozah.com. That's Veozah.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Tony Evers won't run for a third term as Wisconsin's governor.
Evers dropping the news in a video posted to his social media accounts.
"For 5 decades, my family has sacrificed to give me the gift of service. They're my world, and I owe it to them to focus on doing all the things we enjoy and love doing together. It's why, Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a third term. I'm so humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had."
The 73-year-old waited until work on a state budget was completed before announcing his decision.
At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There could be a crowded field of Democrats hoping to succeed Governor Evers.
Attorney General Josh Call, former Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski have all been mentioned as political candidates or indicated an interest in running. Two Republicans are already running for governor, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and corporate CEO and former Navy SEAL Bill Berrien. Other Republicans could also enter the race. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A group of juveniles arrested following an altercation on the UW-Madison campus.
UW-Madison police responded Wednesday night to a report of a disturbance involving 7 to 10 people at Memorial Union Terrace. An investigation revealed the incident stemmed from an earlier incident involving two groups. Police said one suspect used pepper spray on members of the other group and at least one punch was thrown. One person was cited for disorderly conduct, underage alcohol consumption, and assaultive behavior. Police are continuing to investigate and are looking for more suspects. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA attraction bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way, at MOA, mallofamerica.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Hazy sunshine from smoke, a high today in the mid-80s, little humid. For tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows dropping to the upper 60s. Shower and storm chances return for the weekend. Partly sunny and highs in the mid-80s to 90. Looking for a great place to live, shop, stay, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 80.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
For all USDA reorganization, trade agreements, Trump's visit to Powell's house, the Baja Commission, man, there is a lot to talk about this morning. Let's get this thing going.
Live from the very epicenter of all things agriculture, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and we welcome to the fray Senator Jerry Moran from Kansas. Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, here we are. We made it, buddy. We made it. It's Friday.
We made it two here. Yes.
That is an excellent point.
Because I'm kind of excited about today. There's a lot to talk about, lots to sift through, you know?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Certainly is. And it's good that we are going to have Senator Moran in here to talk a little bit more about the reorganization. For those of you that missed it, we had a conversation with Secretary Rollins yesterday afternoon at the midpoint of the show. To talk about reorganization at USDA. We knew that there was going to be some pushback, but there were some very pointed comments out there.
Really?
About the whole plan.
Okay. Pretty much
you tried this before and you screwed it up then. What makes you think you can do it right this time?
Okay.
So we will continue that part of the conversation once we get Senator Moran in here. And of course, Wiesmeyer and Haney will be part of the conversation with Senator Moran as well. So looking forward to that. 78 degrees northeast Iowa right now, buddy.
Is that right? We're 74 here in Kansas City and mostly cloudy.
Yeah. Heading for a high of 85. And it'll be about 110% humidity. that will up the feels like temperature a little bit, I am sure.
Kind of walking around in a watery wonderland up there, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, no doubt about it. The good news from my perspective is it did not rain last night.
Oh, we got a little down here.
Yeah, it was pretty much the first. Well, you guys had storms roll through. Yeah.
Yeah, but we got the I call it the old South Bend effect, where the storm kind of, you know, I don't know. I'm in a very special place in Kansas City here. It just we got just right. You know, it felt just
right.
I'm
sure you are. I'm sure you are. All right. Let's go ahead and get to the news.
Sure thing. Oh, I've got the National Weather Service. Here, say it with me. Are you ready? In 3, 2, 1. Dangerous prolonged heat is ongoing in the mid-south to mid-Mississippi Valley, and heat will expand into the northeast for a brief period today. Widely scattered instances of flash flooding due to heavy rains are forecast from northeast Kansas to much of Indiana. Scattered to strong, severe thunderstorms are possible across parts of New England, northern mid-Atlantic, and North Dakota. That word dangerous keeps kicking off these NWS short-term forecasts. And another note here, no word on Guam this morning. I'm not sure what happened there.
We shouldn't be laughing at dangerous, because it is a dangerous heat situation. Right. But, it's every day this week. It started that way.
Indeed. Well, corn, soybeans, and wheat all softened slightly overnight, with the U.S. dollar index and crude oil futures just slightly higher ahead of the open. Looks like corn under some light pressure, beans down about a nickel, and the wheat's, about the same, Chip.
Yeah, there's, it feels heavy this morning, the corn and soybean markets do.
It does.
The good news is we've got live cattle and feeder cattle trying to post some kind of a recovery from yesterday's pressure.
Well, Chip, private exporters report the following sales activity: 102,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico for 25-26, 140,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to South Korea during the 25-26 marketing year, and 142,500 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to Mexico. That's for the 25-26 marketing year. Excited to see South Korea in there. I'm watching them very closely, given the trade deal with Japan earlier this week.
Right. And it was just yesterday that in the conversation with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing that we mentioned Mexico and said, you know what, they've been kind of quiet since the tomato brouhaha. I wonder if they're backing away from the market, and they showed up this morning. That's awesome.
Yep. Well, Chip, President Trump yesterday visited the Federal Reserve and its building renovations. Trump and Fed Chair Powell bickered on camera over the price of the renovations. Regarding U.S. monetary policy, Trump said, quote, "I just want to see one thing happen very soon, to come down." However, Trump signaled he's not keen on firing Powell, saying, quote, "I think he's going to do the right thing." Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced a new reorganization plan for the USDA. The plan refocuses its core operations to better align with its founding mission of supporting U.S. farming, ranching, and forestry. The secretary told AgriTalk yesterday they've developed a phased-in plan to relocate much of its agency headquarters outside of the D.C. area to better serve agriculture. The five hub locations: Raleigh, North Carolina; Kansas City, Missouri; Indianapolis, Indiana; Fort Collins, Colorado; and Salt Lake City, Utah. President Trump Thursday praised Australia's decision to lift import curbs on U.S. beef amid trade negotiations between the two countries. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association in favor, Chip.
Absolutely in favor. I don't know if it means Australia's going to buy any beef or not, but at least we've got the opportunity to sell into Australia now.
You bet.
All right, Davis, let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal Sport. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Some movement on Prop 12 again. What's the latest?
Well, yeah, interesting week for Prop 12. They had a hearing before the House Ag Committee this week to talk about Prop 12. And, of course, you know, there was conversations on all the sides. And why are we having this conversation again? It's been done. But, we're also hearing G.T. Thompson saying we have the opportunity to do something here and we need to act. And so they heard six witnesses talk about Prop 12 from different perspectives. But, you know, one of the things I asked Holly Cook, MPPC's economist, you know, I'm like, well, what's new? What's different since then? And I think one of the things that really stood out to me is she said, you know, we saw that there was an impact on prices, and recent data shows that that impact isn't going away. It's not changing. From July of 24 to June of this year, the second year of Prop 12's implementation, prices for pork in California were 24% higher on average, with a range of 12% to 33%, you know. And I think that that really speaks very strongly. And we heard Lily Rocha with the Latino Restaurant Association saying, this is like a smashing like a wrecking ball the livelihoods of small restaurants in our communities. So the stress and the pressure is there on all sides. But, you know, some are arguing, why are we talking about this again when we've the California voters have voted? And that's not really the point.
Yeah. California voters have voted. The Supreme Court made its decision. I'm hearing all of that, too. But at the same time, you know, it's the interstate commerce, how it affects things. And that needs to be revisited. I hope they're successful in getting some sort of legislation going here. Jennifer, good stuff. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Jennifer Scheich, Farm Journal's Pork. You can get more on that story and a whole lot more at www.porkbusiness.com. All right, we've got the free-for-all coming your way next. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me on AgriTalk.
If you're looking for promises to overcome yield-threatening challenges, you might go with Big Seed. But if you're looking for real results, go local with Champion Seed. We know that what yields in one field may not be the right seed for the field across the road. That's why we test hundreds of traits and genetics every year to handpick a seed lineup that will perform. And we use local data to dial in on what grows best in your ground. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use database uses photo matching technology across multiple social media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.org.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Snakes. What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. We're going to bring in Jim and Sean here real quick. Jim Wiesmeyer, policy analyst. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Chip.
All right, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. How you doing, Haney?
I'm doing fantastic. Good morning, everybody.
Fantastic. Now, let's bring in U.S. Senator Jerry Moran from Kansas. Senator Moran, welcome back to AgriTalk. It's great to talk with you again.
Chip, you're so nice. I'm glad to be with you, but I'm a little bit nervous about anything called a free-for-all. Well, I'm unaccustomed to those kind of circumstances in my current job.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know about that. There's a lot happening in the Senate right now, and a lot happening in D.C. in general. The USDA reorganization that was announced yesterday, that seems like a big effort that USDA is taking on. What's your take?
Well, I've always thought a good idea to have more federal employees working across the country, and particularly when it comes to agriculture. I mean, the state of Kansas has generally moved its Kansas Department of Agriculture out of Topeka, our state capital, and moved it to Manhattan, home of the, you know, Kansas State University, and a lot of ag programs, and it seems like it's really worked well here. And the federal government should be assisting communities across the country in providing the benefits that come from having a workforce paid for by the taxpayers in their neighborhood. And the idea of bringing farm programs closer to the clientele that the Department of Agriculture serves, that appeals to me. I think we have a lot to learn about this this decision and its details. And there, I think, has been commitments that, or at least seemingly, were not kept, that the Ag Committee, of which I'm a member, would be consulted, have information. And I think that in most instances, this occurred as a surprise, at least the date and timing and the nature of what was announced, not known by most of us or any of us in the United States Senate.
My goodness. Do you think that there will be some hearings on this?
Absolutely. At least, I mean, I talked to Senator Bozeman yesterday as we discussed this topic, and he has indicated that he hopes to have hearings in the Senate Ag Committee very quickly, and both he and Senator Klobuchar have announced their desire for those hearings. So the ranking member, the Democratic lead in the Senate Ag Committee, and the chairman are already on the path of trying to schedule that effort.
Yeah, ranking member Klobuchar had some pretty pointed comments about it, and just doesn't sound like she's really much in favor of it. She's scared of the brain drain. Well, you know, there's some good people outside of Washington, D.C., too, isn't there?
Well, you know, we've had a bit of this in Kansas, at least in Kansas City, in the last Trump administration. And I was very involved and supportive of the effort of moving ERS and NIFA employees to Kansas City. And that occurred. I mean, we have a lot in the region of Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, and Kansas. We've got a lot of ag education, a lot of land grant colleges, and a lot of people who grew up on farms and ranches, and in some instances would love to work in agriculture, even though they may not have a farm or ranch to return home to. And again, it's one of the reasons we fight to keep FSA and NRCS offices in counties across Kansas, is that's a good income and a good job for lots of folks in small towns. And it helps the farm family, who often needs a second income and yet still work in agriculture. So the more we can create opportunities for agriculture and their families to have jobs and have jobs occupied by people who know, love, and care, there's so much that's so good. Incidentally, when you talk about brain drain, I learned after the fact, while Secretary Vilsack, who then became the secretary in the Biden administration after the Trump administration was no longer in office, he indicated that he continued to support the move of NIFA and ERS to Kansas City and didn't stop it. But I also know that the Biden administration let lots of people work remotely. And I don't know exactly what the facts are, but it turns out, I guess, that a lot of people worked, quote, in Kansas City, but they worked remotely from wherever they were living before the transfer. And I know my conversations with USDA nominees as they've come through the office, we've had this conversation. And if you're going to work for farmers and ranchers in Kansas City, we want you in Kansas City working for farmers and ranchers there.
Yeah, gotcha. Jim?
Yes, I mean, this is a total redo of, you know, USDA in Washington, and USDA cited the reorganization plan of 1953, by the way, and the USDA Reorganization Act of 94 as their authority to make the move. Okay. You have to recall that once they move them, it's hard to get them back. So they can have all the hearings they want, but I think they're going to move very fast.
Yeah. Interesting.
That sounds common sense to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, let's talk about the amendment that you've got on the rescission package, Senator Moran. What exactly it needs to clarify some of the USAID rescissions. What's going on?
So we have voted in the Senate to as the House has, to rescind money, meaning that you appropriated money in the past. It hasn't been spent. And it's being the ability to spend it is being taken away. And there were two components to that. The one that we're talking about here was the State Department funding for foreign aid programs. And while the programs that I cared the most about and pay the most attention to are not part of the State Department's appropriation, they are part of the Department of Agriculture's appropriation. That's Food for Peace. And what in Kansas, at least, we call Dole McGovern. In some places, it's known as McGovern Dole, feeding program for children. And these are the programs that allow the purchase of commodities from American producers that then are put on ships and taken to places in the world where people are starving. The Dole McGovern program is about school-aged children, and the Food for Peace is the much more traditional, where you see the USAID bags of food being delivered to hungry around the globe. I chair the Senate Hunger Caucus. We paid a lot of attention to this. It's certainly an American issue, but Kansas has a lot of history here. There was a farmer in the northeast corner of Kansas that went to a Farm Bureau meeting years ago and said, what are we doing with all this commodities that are piled up when people are starving? It became the Food for Peace program. Bob Dole, Senator Dole, was a leader in the Senate in that with Senator McGovern. And Dwight Eisenhower signed the law originally, put it into place. So there's Kansas connections here. But this is another way, when we have so many commodities, low prices, high input costs, that we have an opportunity for commodities to be sold. And I always tell farmers and ranchers, and I believe this sincerely, they're in a noble profession of feeding the world. And this is one way that we demonstrate it. This amendment, which was not opposed by the administration, just made clear that any money that was being rescinded from the State Department was not money that prohibited or eliminated the opportunity for this food at USDA, these commodities, to be shipped, administered, to keep the programs going.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Very good. A lot of heavy lifting for the farm bill was done in the reconciliation package. What does that do to the future of the farm bill process?
Well, it's sad. I mean, I used to be able to say, particularly in my House days, that the House Agriculture Committee and at the time the Senate Agriculture Committee were the last pieces of evidence of bipartisan capabilities of doing work, and that we were there. Sometimes we had our arguments with geography and commodity-specific kinds of programs, but we all pulled together to make sure. And it's become more difficult. It's often been political or divisions over SNAP, the program that utilizes the opportunity to feed people in this country, and conservation, and in the Biden administration, the Democrats did reconciliation, and they took what was normally a part of the significant part of the farm bill, conservation programs, and used that opportunity of reconciliation. The importance there is you can do something with 51 votes, not 60. And they used that opportunity to do green kinds of things with conservation programs in agriculture. And so now Republicans have used reconciliation in this way to deal with a farm bill. And it does demonstrate the more and more circumstances in which there's a partisan or political divide in getting things done. But fortunately, reconciliation took care of the issues of Title I in the farm bill, and we were successful in raising reference prices and therefore increasing the safety net for farmers, which is important as they try to borrow money from their bankers, the certainty that is there.
Yep. Yep, that is absolutely the case. Senator, we certainly appreciate you making time for AgriTalk here this morning. Thank you. Travel safe and hope to talk with you again soon.
All right. Appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. That is U.S. Senator Jerry Moran from Kansas. Okay, we're going to get a little bit more of the free-for-all going. We've got to stay on the USDA reorganization, and we got a lot of trade issues to talk about today. We'll do that next here on AgriTalk.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The wheat harvest is underway. Make it easier with Elsevia's on-farm pickup program. Elsevia will haul your grain directly from your farm to its destination with freight included in Elsevia's bids. It's simple, efficient, and designed to fit your operation. Let Elsevia handle the trucking so you can focus on harvest. Try it out this season. Visit Elsevia.com or call 608-819-4401, 608-819-4401 to learn more.
Milk markets are mostly higher from the Dunn County Fair. I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update. August milk down 2 to 17.24, September up 4 to 17.53, October up 1 to 18 even, and November up 5 to 18.25. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets, were mostly higher on the day. There was some strength in the cash markets yesterday. That held today, and that helped to support live and feeder cattle markets. Meanwhile, hog markets higher in the nearbys, but lower in deferreds. Again, the trade wanting to see more consistent demand, that pressured some of the deferred contracts. August live cattle up 67 cents to 226.47. August feeder cattle up 247 to 331.47. August hogs up 50 cents to 108.70. Chicago Board of Trade today. Corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower. Really a lack of any type of bullish news to help move the markets higher. Also, the weather forecast, yes, it's going to get warm, but there looks like plenty of moisture, and that really helped to keep the pressure on the markets today. September corn down 2.25 to 399.5. New crop down 2 to 418.75. August beans down 5.5 to 998.75. New crop down 3 to 1021.25. September wheat down 3.5 to 538. Minneapolis wheat September steady at 585.25. From the Dunn County Fair, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Looking for a new skid steer loader, compact track loader, or UTV? Take the challenge. Go head-to-head against other brands, comparing quality, comfort, or performance. Bobcat machines are the best in the industry. But don't take our word for it. Visit BobcatAdvantage.com or visit us in person at Comroe Sales and Service, your authorized Bobcat dealer in Durand. Call us today, 715-672-4263, to learn more.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready? Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Emplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day, in-person, or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
Talk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. Let's get the guys back in here. Jim Wiesmeyer, policy analyst. And we've got Sean Haney from Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio with us as well. Jim, the senator was surprised by the USDA announcement yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, they've kept it. Well, they signaled it earlier, but then you couldn't ever get more information. Now, I know Senator John Hoeven, very important in ag appropriations, is going to meet with Brooke Rollins today and with Deputy Ag Secretary Steve Vaden next week regarding the reorganization plan. So we could hear further news. And the Senate is going to soon to announce that hearing. The House has not yet. G.T. Thompson has not said anything, but Angie Craig, the ranking minority member, she said it's unacceptable and wants immediate oversight.
Yeah. I said that Klobuchar had some pointed comments. Representative Craig, she didn't mince any words about it. She is not happy she's not happy with the decision, and she's really not happy that it's already been announced. So, Haney, what was your take?
Exactly. There's a bit of a tell here in the fact that maybe there wasn't a bit of a heads up on some of the details. They knew there would be some pushback, even from maybe the more Republican side of the aisle. And we're pretty aggressive. But I agree with Senator Moran in the sense that it's really about the execution. So, okay, we got some of the details, but what does the execution actually look like to get from A to B?
Yeah. Yep. Jim, you think that they're going to get started on this quickly? Is that what I heard you say?
Well, that's how this administration, that's their one word, and they follow through, yes. Now, if you'll recall, the 2019 USDA relocation under Trump 1.0, that led to some major staff losses, Chip, and the GAO, Government Accountability Office, found that USDA's decision at the time omitted critical cost and economic effects. And now they're estimating that for each relocation could cost USDA $150,000 per employee, and that's fueling speculation that their true intent is just to downsize by attrition.
Yeah, I think that makes some sense, Jim. And the other part of it, too, is that based on the, I guess, some of the comments from the administration towards federal workers, if some of those people don't transfer and you're actually looking to fill those positions, they're not exactly giving off like, hey, this is a great stable place to work right now, trying to get people to jump ship to come over to USDA and some of those more rural locations. I think that's a challenge for them, too.
Yeah. When we we asked Secretary Rollins about that yesterday. She basically said, probably half of those positions, half of the people will move. So
that's about right. Yep.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. It's going to be a big effort. But, you know, it's a great opportunity for some people that would love to be involved at USDA but have no desire to be in Washington, D.C., so
I also think in 2025 this idea that there's a lot of us here that do some remote work we're able to do our job and do it. The pushback and like as if the people that are working remotely aren't working, lots of governments are fixated on this. I have a hard time with it because it's not 1985 anymore.
Well, that's true, but we just need to have some accountability out there and some oversight 100%. To make sure that people are doing
Absolutely.
Their jobs. Yep. Jim, let's get an update on what's going on with these trade issues. Start with Japan. The biggest deal ever, according
according to Trump. I'll tell you, when you read the Japanese papers, you're getting different opinions about what they apparently agreed to, and that includes the rice provisions, Chip. So we're kind of still in this murky area, but bottom line, it was progress more in the U.S.-Japanese trade relationships. I think the biggest thing out of that is up to $550 billion in Japanese investment in the United States. Again, Japan has certain definitions of what that means versus President Trump. But there is your signal to other countries, South Korea and others, to if you can come up with a plan to invest more in the U.S. with plants and et cetera, you know, critical minerals, you may have a deal.
Jim, but is it backstopping capital to come to the U.S. or is it actual investment from Japan? Because hearing different things in different places on that.
Yeah, well, yeah. Trump would want actual capital, but Japan is signaling more backup of loans.
Yeah, and that's the part. Because one thing, the U.S., you know, there's things to be gained from these trade deals for the U.S. Access to capital is not a problem in the U.S. Like, I'm trying to sort out which in this $550 billion, why was this a problem? And the confusion over whether it's investment or it's a loan is not adding to the clarity.
See, what Haney is getting to here, Jim, I think is the reason that the grain markets really didn't respond much to the Japan deal, the Indonesia deal, Philippines, South Korea. There isn't enough detail available yet to give the markets confidence in what it might mean. Do you think that's right?
Well, we need details for sure. Yeah, I put together an item this morning that where are we at under the trade deals announced so far, who's especially for the sectors, and it looks like LNG, liquefied natural gas, ethanol, beef, and airplanes lead the gains, you know, so far.
I really think, you know, Jim, you and I were talking earlier this week. Ag is involved in these deals, okay? But to me, it feels a little bit ancillary. Like it's not it's clearly about planes, automobiles, and energy. Those are the ones that take up the majority of this. And, you know, I don't think Boeing even needs a salesperson anymore because the administration's locking down a lot of sales of Boeing airplanes right now.
Yep. What's the latest on China, Jim?
Now they're starting to focus. And this is at the White House level. We're going to have several Treasury Department and other meetings with China over the next 2 to 3 weeks. So I think you're going to see Trump et al. Pivot now, Chip, to China pretty soon. They want to get the EU, South Korea, and perhaps Mexico and Canada out of the way. But I'm telling you, once they focus on China, they'll continue on China.
And that's where the focus should be. Yeah. Those are some of the real issues that they need to solve. Some of the rest of this stuff with these other countries, there's already trade deals in place. And hey, selling more planes and working on some of the from an auto tariff standpoint, that makes a lot of sense. But China is the real nefarious character here that they need to lock down and sort this out. And that'll add a lot of calmness or a little stability to the market from a perception standpoint.
Yeah, Jim, give us the same kind of recap or assessment on the EU. What's the status?
Well, Trump said this morning that the you know famous phrase, he thinks it's 50-50 whether or not we can reach an agreement with the EU, which says nothing. I think you'll eventually have an agreement with the EU, but I think they're closer than people think. So you have to look at the baseline tariff. Now, we no longer, by the way, call them reciprocal tariffs because that's a misnomer now. We're not treating the countries the same as they treat us anymore. We're having a baseline tariff no matter what you do. Of 10% for some countries and 15% to 20% are others. So I think that's what they're discussing with the EU. But that's a big market chip over there, and I don't think they're going to toss it out, despite what Trump may say publicly.
Yeah, and it's a popular foil for the president, though. Feuding with the European Union is enjoyable. It's some easy fodder, I think, for the president. Chip, just to jump back to Japan for a second.
Yeah.
I think the deal on rice, not expanding the size of the tariff rate quota, but just the amount of U.S. purchases that are allocated inside of that 770,000 metric tons, I think is a bit of a tell on what we can expect if we ever get a deal between the U.S. and Canada in relation to dairy. It's okay. About the definition of those TRQs and how they are allocated, not necessarily increasing the market access number. I think there should be some encouragement from the Canadian side that some of these ag issues are not as pronounced, or they're not dying on the mountain, so to speak, trying to sort them out.
Gotcha. And back to Jim's comment about there's going to be some kind of a tariff on everything. 10% is the new zero, right?
But it's not 10%. It's 15. It's higher.
15%
is the new zero? Yeah. Okay.
It'll be 15.
It's typical Trump. People have been running around saying that 10% is not going to have that big of an impact and we'll get through it. And so typical President Trump, he's like, well, if 10 is good, 15 or 20 is fantastic, right?
Right. Gotcha.
And look what he floated this morning. He floated the idea, meaning Trump, tariff-funded rebate checks for Americans. He cited the $113 billion in tariff revenue so far, and he's considering rebates for lower-income households. There's your angle to watch.
Well, where is that $113 billion coming from? Are companies eating this?
Well, the Wall Street Journal says they are.
Well, kind of a combination. You've got some countries are lowering the price to begin with, so they're eating some of it, but companies – who are the exporters actually are eating it mostly.
All right. Sure. All right. Very good. Hey, we got to get to a break. We're going to have to go speed round in the final segment. You know, one last thought on Europe and China. We need to keep close watch on the talks between the EU and China, not just between the U.S. and those countries.
You said you'd.
Now is the perfect time to start on your next success. Apply now and save with no application fee. Classes start August 13th. An accredited state university, University of Maryland Global Campus, offers online and hybrid courses. Plus, you can earn up to 90 credits toward a bachelor's for prior learning and work experience. Or transfer up to 12 credits towards a master's. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chef.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins.
Join the millions of people who are celebrating going hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. Footwear you just step into and they're on.
It's crazy how something as simple as a pair of shoes have made my life better.
After trying Skechers Slip-ins, I want all my shoes to have this technology. See what everybody can't stop talking about. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $40 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $18 a month, a savings of nearly $300 a year.
Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. In a hurry? Don't worry. With SelectQuote, you can get up to $2 million in instant, affordable, same-day coverage with no medical exam.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-637-9116. That's 1-800-637-9116. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-637-9116.
Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
At Hexagon, we are experts behind the world's most precise machines, from race cars and jets to tractors, sprayers, and combines. In the field, our technology provides farm equipment with sub-inch precision. Pass after pass, field after field, year after year. Anywhere you farm, anytime you need. We are guiding your equipment and maximizing your potential. Keep up with the agriculture evolution by trusting Hexagon in your fields. This is how Hexagon is empowering spring agriculture. See how at hexagon.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-515-1548.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-515-1548. That's 800-515-1548.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.55% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and me and Davis here to discuss the issues. It was kind of an awkward meeting between President Trump and Fed Chief Jay Powell, Jim. I mean, it was almost cringeworthy to watch how those two were interacting, wasn't it?
Yeah, they both got their licks in, you know, so to speak, as they, quote, donned their white hats. But I didn't see any market significance out of the move. I know the market was worried about it, but he got his thoughts through, and so did Powell. So I don't think he's going to be fired.
It's great to watch it without sound even. The facial expressions on the two of them is just – there is going to be so much dubbing. Like, that is now a meme forever. It was 3.2. That's a building from 5 years ago. And then President Trump pulls out the piece of paper. Let me look here. Like, it was
and
just,
then he gets the glasses out.
Yeah, spectacular.
I mean, yeah, it was interesting. FOMC meeting this next week, guys. I think the whole thing between Trump and Powell is making the job tougher on Powell. Even to lower interest rates, because if he does it now, will it be taken that he's given in to Trump?
Yeah, it would be, but don't expect it, and the market doesn't expect it.
No,
the only one expecting a lowering of the rates is Trump.
Yeah, right. You know, in front of Marine One this morning, which is great audio, having to pick out what he's saying in front of that helicopter noise. That Trump said that Powell had told him the economy was doing very well and congratulations. And then the president jumped to, therefore, we need to lower rates in September. I don't know if it plays out that way. I think most economists think that this is later in the year, if really at all. And if the economy is doing really well, does that really mean you drop rates? I think if the economy was struggling, it'd be more of an inclination to drop the rate.
Yeah. You know, just a reminder, Vince Malanga told us last week that we need to watch this July meeting, this July FOMC meeting, to see if Powell comes out of it and resigns. Now, he put low odds on it, but he did bring it up that it's a potential. Jim?
Can't rule it out. Yeah, he's been hammered. And you could tell it in that video with him with Trump. It wasn't pleasant for him at all.
No, yeah. Well, not at all. Watch though. Do they name the successor earlier than normal to add even more pressure onto Chair Powell?
Yep. If they do, if he does that, you know that. He is going to be in front of the whoever it would be that they would name. He's going to be in front of the camera a lot, and he's just going to be coming out. Now, listen, here's the reason that we should be lowering rates. That's going to happen a lot. I would think.
Well, if it's Kevin Warsh, he's already given it, and you would see lower rates. But remember, the Fed chairman is just one vote, so
right.
he still has
right.
to convince the other governors.
Well, and. That's right. And when his term is done, maybe, you know, whether he quits in September or he lasts till next May, does he stay on the board? That's another question that a lot of people are asking.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I think he would leave. I think he would leave. And number two, even if he doesn't leave, Bessent, Treasury Secretary, said that they'll announce a replacement in December. So you'll have a shadow Fed chairman anyway.
Okay. All right. Jim, what's the latest on the appropriations process? Is there any progress being made?
In fact, it's going backwards. So you'll have your cable news programs going countdown to shutdown all over again. So the animosity between the two political parties are just growing, Chip. They're not decreasing. And that doesn't bode well for appropriations starting October 1. So. Looks like another extension of current spending, which the Democrats don't mind because that locks in some of the Biden proposals.
Yep.
So I hate to be negative on this one, but at this juncture now, I don't see any agreement.
Okay, so countdown to shutdown. Shutdown would happen at the end of September?
October 1, as of October 1. But before that, you'd have, they'd be silly to do that, Chip. So you have a whatever extension to see if they can work out the differences or just a one-year extension. Yeah. And let's see how the 2026 elections go. Just the whole area of appropriations is murky. And the Democrats are saying, look, even if we agree, your OMB, Office Management and Budget Director, has already said he's going to come back with more rescissions, further cuts. So, what are we really doing here? That's the debate that's going on now.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So UP is trying to buy Norfolk Southern, guys, be it like a $200 billion company if that happens. Haney, what's your take?
Yeah, it would be the first East-West railroad. And listen, it was approved, just over a year ago, I guess, the first North-South railway, CP in Kansas City Southern. Yeah. So why not an East-West? Now, if you can find efficiencies and there's a benefit to shippers, I think it's headed to being a deal.
Jim, will it make it through antitrust legislation?
I think so.
Okay.
But the approval of the most recent merger in 2023 took almost 17 months. That's just perspective.
Yeah. That's good perspective. The other thing is watch for the next one. If something like this happens, there will be a domino effect, and the mergers and the consolidation will continue. Haney, thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Yep. Cheers, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Jim, thank you so much, my friend.
Sure.
We'll talk with you again soon. All right. Jim Wiesmeyer, policy analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Come back this afternoon. We are going to have a conversation with Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, right here on AgriTalk.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
You gotta dip your chicken strips. Hey, this is Keani.
And this is Tabitha.
And a little thing we love about Chick-fil-A chicken strips
is all the different sauces we can dip them in. I like to line up all my favorite sauces so that in every bite, I have a different flavor. Then with the tenderness of the chicken, the juiciness of it, it's all there.
And for me, I like to mix my sauces so I get a little tang and I get a little sweetness all in one bite.
That's what makes it for me. Like, that's what does it for me.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
This is Secret Clinical Dominic. Extra stinky stress sweat. And this is regular deodorant. Secret Clinical in a heat wave.
Oh, what a beautiful day.
This is regular deodorant.
Ugh, I can't.
Secret Clinical with workout sweat. Let's run another marathon. And regular deodorant.
How much more?
Secret is the goat. Because nothing fights sweat better.
Stay fresher under pressure.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A meeting with Justice Department and Ghislaine Maxwell, her attorney, has concluded. The former girlfriend and accomplice of Jeffrey